The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 36. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasavikari. Recorded on June 17th, 2012, in Mill Park, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Asamyatatmana yogo duṣprapā iti me mati vaśyatmanā tu yatatā sakyo vaptum apāyata. Translation and purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. For one whose mind is unbridled, self-realization is difficult work. But he whose mind is controlled and who strives by appropriate means is assured of success. That is my opinion. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead declares that one who does not accept the proper treatment to detach the mind from material engagement can hardly achieve success in self-realization. Trying to practice yoga while engaging the mind in material enjoyment is like trying to ignite a fire while pouring water on it. Yoga practice without mental control is a waste of time. Such a show of yoga may be materially lucrative, but it is useless as far as spiritual realization is concerned. Therefore, one must control the mind by engaging it constantly in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, unless one is engaged in Krishna consciousness. He cannot steadily control the mind. A Krishna conscious person easily achieves the result of yoga practice without separate endeavor. But a yoga practitioner cannot achieve success without becoming Krishna conscious. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghuna Tanvitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitam Shcha. So, there is the mind. Each one of us have a mind. You have a mind, I have a mind, we all have minds. That's the thing. Can you see it in a microscope? No. They say the soul does not exist because you can't prove its existence. But how you can prove the mind exists? Is there any way you can prove in a scientific experiment that the mind exists? Is there any chemicals that you can use? Is it? Now, we know we have a mind by its symptoms, but you can't look at it in any way. See, we all know we have mind, you see. So just as we know we have mind, in the same way we know we have soul. So the mind is a very important thing. How you engage the mind determines whether you realize your spiritual identity or not. You understand? Krishna is talking about you, you see. If you use the mind properly, by engaging it in Krishna consciousness, you see, then you realize your eternal spiritual nature. Then you get free from karma chakra, the cycle of birth and death. But if you don't use your mind properly, karma chakra is waiting for you. Sometimes a human, sometimes an animal, sometimes a plant, sometimes a germ, sometimes a demigod, sometimes a worm. That's karma chakra. It's not that you... Some people say, well, I don't mind being karma chakra, I'll just become different types of human beings, but it doesn't work that way. You do not remain a human being in karma chakra. You see? There are 8,400,000 species, and the humans are a minority. So having come to this human form is a very, very rare privilege. So don't waste it on sense gratification, ladies and gentlemen. Don't waste it. Don't throw it away. If you throw it away, the nature will see this person is not worthy for having a human form. Therefore, animal body is awaiting you. You see? The human life, according to Vedanta Sutra, is meant to realize the absolute truth. Atato brahma jigyasa. Now that you've got this human form, utilize it for self-realization. Are you doing that? Are you running after sense gratification? You see? You're free to do what you want. No one's going to force you. I'm not here to force you. Devotees are not here to force you. We simply want you to have the knowledge, the information, so you can make an educated decision. We don't want you to be an illusion. We want you to be free from confusion. We want you to know how you can make the transition from a state of anxiety to a state of pure unadulterated bliss. That's why we're giving you, that's why we have this Krishna consciousness movement, you see. We want to give you this information. This movement is an educational institution. It's not a puja. Puja is part of it, but it's not a puja organization. It's an educational institution. Puja is one of the 9 items to worship. But the purpose of this movement is to educate everyone in the science of bhakti, the whole world, you see. Because without the proper understanding of bhakti, you'll do puja in the wrong way. You know, puja in itself can be good or bad. Krishna says, those who do puja to the demigods, they've lost their intelligence. Those who do puja to the demigods, you see, they've lost their intelligence. Why? Because yanti deva vrita devan pratinyati prati vrataha. Bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti manyo jinopimam. If you worship the demigods, you go to the demigods. Well, maybe that's a good thing. But you know what? The demigods are temporary. Their positions are temporary. Even Brahmaji, the chief demigod of the universe, his position is temporary. So you worship a demigod, you go, you was all following all the rules and regulations of the Vedic system, which nobody does anyway. But even if you did, you would attain the planet of that demigod, and then you would still have to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. So why waste time? Why not go all the way to Mukunda? And what is the meaning of Mukunda? The one who gives liberation. Mukta. You see? So why not go to Krishna, the one who gives liberation from birth and death? You see, that is this Krishna consciousness movement. Instead of going to a lesser god who can only give you some money, some fame, a beautiful wife, some, you know, good grade in your university or whatever you're looking for materially, these are temporary. They come and they go. You should spend your energy in achieving liberation from birth and death. And then you're really successful. Because no matter what success you may have in this world, it will all be taken away from you. But if you can achieve this success of becoming Krishna conscious, then you will not be defeated ever in all of eternity. You will not take birth again, you see. So this Krishna consciousness movement is the most important movement on the entire planet Earth, because we are the only movement who are teaching how you, the the most potent process of how you can quickly and easily become spiritually perfect and not have to take birth again in this material world. You know, no one else is teaching it. You see, no one else is teaching us. Prabhupada is the sole person who is giving it full. Others are giving part of it. You can get part of it everywhere. The Christians are giving part of it. The Muslims are giving part of it. So many different Hindu groups are giving part of it. But Prabhupada is giving the full thing. Srila Prabhupada in his book is giving the full science of bhakti. You won't find it anywhere else. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is very, very essential. So we encourage you, therefore, to regularly attend these programs, regularly go to the temple also. Take the time and trouble to go to our ISKCON temple here. You see, Radha Vallabha temple. Take the time and trouble to go there. Because even by getting in your car, you're doing bhakti. Your whole family is doing bhakti just by sitting in the car and riding to Radha Vallabha's lotus feet. You see. So please come regularly to the temple. And you need to find a spiritual master also, because Krishna says that in the Gita. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadengshatite jnanam gananastatvadarshina. Wherever you find one, it's not difficult. Prabhupada is the greatest spiritual master in the history of the world, history of the universe. And he has created many bona fide spiritual masters, you see. His disciples. We are initiating disciples all over the world. Just like I see my beloved godbrother Jai Pataka Swami Kijai. You see? He's initiating disciples all over the world. I'm initiating disciples all over the world. You see? It's not difficult to find a spiritual master. ISKCON is loaded with them. And many of them come to Melbourne. We're loaded with spiritual. You know, it's not difficult to find a guru. The difficulty is qualify yourself to become initiated. That's the difficulty, you see? That's the difficulty. You see, I have to become very serious about spiritual life to take diksha. Very, very serious. That means I have to understand that the unbridled mind is the devil's workshop. You understand? The unbridled mind is the devil's workshop. You have to agree to bring your mind. Guru means, now I have to discipline myself. Prabhupada wrote me a letter. He said, disciple means discipline. Now you have to discipline yourself. I see. You have to discipline yourself. You can't just be undisciplined like it. What does undisciplined mean? Animal. If you're not disciplined, you may have a human body, but your consciousness is an animal. Undisciplined means you will become an animal in your next birth. There's no doubt. You will become an animal in your next birth if you're not disciplined. And discipline means to fix the mind on Krishna. You see, Krishna consciousness. That is the discipline required. So the spiritual master will, surrendering to a spiritual master means following Prabhupada's system. Prabhupada is the spiritual master of all of us. His books are teaching us exactly what is the science and how to practice the science. And then when Prabhupada was here, we all became Prabhupada's disciples. But then he instructed that after he leaves, then the devotees, new devotees, should become the disciples of Prabhupada's disciples. That's called disciplic succession. It's a system that has gone on since the beginning of the universe, you see. The spiritual master makes disciples, and those who are strictly following him, they also become spiritual masters. And those who strictly follow them become spiritual masters. Just like you have the father, you have your grand. There's the great grandfather, your grandfather, the father, the son. The son also becomes a great grandfather someday. You see, just like we have. That's a genealogical succession. There's also a spiritual succession or disciplic succession. So, when you surrender to a spiritual master, when we surrender to Prabhupada's instructions, and we take initiation. Or we're getting ready for initiation, then what about service? Do we have to do any service, or we can just sit around and think about it and philosophize? No, the service is also important. That's stated by Krishna. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. You must serve the spiritual master. We have to serve Prabhupada's mission. We have to serve our guru that we accept as our spiritual master. We have to serve them. that's essential. You may say, but I don't want to do that. I mean, I only serve where I get paid. Then I'll do service. They pay me, I'll do service. But you're getting a greater pay. I guarantee you, you're getting a greater pay from the spiritual manager than you can get from XYZ Corporation. Is it? They're giving you some Australian dollars, some pieces of paper that you trade for, you know, water, heat, cooling facilities. It's just paper you trade in for things that are actually given by God. Everything you get is actually given by God. It's not via the Australian dollars you get these things. They're already here, given by God. Man is playing these games, this money game, but actually that's man just getting in the middle of it. We don't need this money game. God has given everything. But someone says, this is mine, and now if you want it, you have to give me some Australian dollars. You see? It's just a money game. But actually, everything is owned by God. God is providing the air, the food, the water, all these raw materials here. They're coming from the earth. Every single raw material is coming from the earth, which is given by God. So, instead of putting all of our devotion into the Australian, the almighty Australian dollar, you see, we should put our devotion into the source of all the dollars, Krishna, you see, of God. That is called Krishna consciousness, and we should serve him. If you love somebody, will you serve them? Well, I love you, my dear wife, but I'm not going to do any service. You're sick tonight, but still, you cook the dinner, you wash the dishes, I'm watching television. Oh, I love you. Come on, that's nonsense. If you love someone, you will serve them. Your love is only real to the extent that you serve that person. That is genuine love, you understand? So if you love, say, I love God, but I'm not going to do any service. Your service is called lip service, sir. It's not real service. Service means, love means service, you see. How much you're willing to serve God. So the temple is a great place where you can do service. You can give donations to help pay the expense of the temple, to help maintain the inmates of the temple. You can sweep the floor, you can wash dishes, whatever they ask for service when you go there. It's a real, and these Namahat programs also, a very nice place to do service, you see. We have big festivals, Rathiatras, and it's a great opportunity for service. Everybody should try to find some service to do. And if you can't find any, ask your leader, your Bhakti Vriksha leader, what service can I do, you see? There's no service, then take Prabhupada's books and go out, go door to door and make them available to everyone. Go out with the devotees who are chanting on the streets. This is all service. Find some way to serve this mission, because by that service, Krishna will say, oh, this person really loves me. He really loves me. He's doing the service. You see? So, but what about Grahastha couple? You know, they have... We're so busy raising our kids, driving them to school and going to work and this and that, shopping. It's just like running. Where's the time for devotional service? Well, there's one great acharya. His name was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You think it, what's the largest family here in terms of number of children? Anybody have three kids? Raise your hand if you have three kids. No one has three? Two? Yeah, okay, two. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had about 12 kids. 12 kids, all right? And he had a job also. He was working as an employee of the British government. And he was such a great devotee in spite of all that. 12 kids, he had a job with the British government. At the same time, he was writing so many books. In the night, he would write books. He would take a little rest, and he would get up and he would write. So many beautiful Vaishnava songs we have from Bhakti. It's like the song we just sang, Jaya Radha Ma. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He wrote so many beautiful bhajans, so many wonderful books of knowledge. And then when he would get a leave, he'd take a leave from his job, you know, get some time off, he'd go out preaching in the villages. This Namahat program is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He is the one who did this, Namahat preaching all over Bengal. So many Namahat centers all over Bengal, you see. So, you see, you can do it. Get initiated. That means, you know, figure out a way to chant japa. That's the big challenge, how to work japa into your schedule. Start off whatever you can do. Here's the trick. Early in the morning. Japa is 10 times easier before sunrise. Everyone knows who meditates that early morning is the best time for meditation. Because there's nothing happening. The material world is asleep. You see? Yadna shash sarvabhutanam tushang jagati samyami yasham jagati bhutani sana shapasritomude Bhagavad Gita 2:69. Krishna says, what is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. They consider it night, is it? And then the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. They're nightlife, you see. Oh, now it's time for nightlife. Cinema, discotheque, tavern, bar, you know, amusement park, running here, all this at night, all the sense pattern. But devotees think, well, either we have a nice Namahut program or we take early rest, you see. So you have to reorient yourself towards spiritual activities. Not that we have to go see the latest cinema, you see. We can have kirtan. That's much better than any cinema. You know why? Because actually you have a cinema within your heart. You just haven't, it hasn't been inaugurated yet. But if you do kirtan sufficiently, you'll achieve the stage where all the pastimes of Krishna will manifest in your heart. It's called the Asakti stage. After you, there's many stages. There's Shraddha, Sarasanga, Vajanakriya, Anartanavritti, Nishta, Ruchi, and then finally you get to Asakti, then you have a cinema. All of a sudden the cinema house opens up in your heart and you can see Krishna's pastimes in your heart. So instead of running here, running there, you know, getting the latest DVD or the latest Bollywood movie or whatever it may be, do yourself a favor. Just try to focus on Krishna consciousness. Because you'll achieve something greater than any entertainment of this material world. I guarantee you, you will achieve something millions and billions of times more enjoyable, more entertaining, more stimulating, more thrilling, more exciting, more adventurous, more amazing, simply by awakening your Krishna consciousness. You don't need all this mundane entertainment. We fly the earth, my wife and I, Vishnu Priya Manaji, we fly the globe constantly. We took 60 flights last year. 60 flights. That's more than once a week we're in the airplane. And we took a couple of boat crossings as well on the boat from across the Gulf of Finland. It's cheaper than the airfare. You just get on the boat and go from Helsinki to Tallinn. It's a 2-hour cruise. It's cheaper than the airfare. And more comfortable also. Nice, mellow crossing the ocean. But we took all these cruises, a couple of cruises and all these flights, and there's all this mundane entertainment on the airplanes. All the, we don't watch those movies. We don't even eat their food. We bring our own prasadam on the airplane, you see. We don't waste our time with all the movies. I have my Sri Ashapanishad with me. Instead of the in-flight magazine, I have my Sri Ashapanishad. You see, I can learn mantras. I can study Prabhupada's words. You see. And once the airplane takes off, I pull out my computer, I can do my emails. When I was flying from London to the Delhi, it was an all-night flight. I stayed up the whole night, did 80 emails. The flight attendant was amazed. You stayed up all night? Everybody else was, they watched the movies and they went to sleep. And I was up the whole night. They're really amazed. Oh, you were up the whole night? They were amazed. The whole night I was just answering emails. 80 emails I wrote that one night. So actually, you just have to get a higher taste. You see, you just have to get into Krishna consciousness because it's so much more relishable than anything you can get in this material world, you see. You have to develop this taste and your children will follow you automatically because if you're enjoying more than anybody in this material world, they're going to follow you, I guarantee you. They're not going to be attracted by the material energy. If they see my parents are enjoying more than any other people, you see, my parents are relishing in ecstasy 10, 20, 30, 50 times greater than anybody else in this neighborhood. So why should I even think about anything else except for Krishna consciousness? You see, you are the example for your kids. So you have to become pure devotees, parents. You need to become pure devotees. So these kids will follow you. You know what Krishna says? Yad yad atariti shreshtas. Tattarivi tarojana sayat pramanam kurute lokasta danavartate. Whatever the great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts all the world pursues. So take up this pathway of Krishna Bhakti, you see. I'm trying to become as pure as I possibly can. I'm just praying for your pure bhakti. Because I know the more that I'm purified, the more I can inspire you. So I'm just praying, please, Prabhupada, give me pure bhakti so I can inspire all of these people to surrender to your divine instructions. Because there's nothing more wonderful than this. So it's not difficult. You just have to become determined. Get up early, chant japa before the sunrise. It's easy. The best thing is chant as many rounds as possible before you take your breakfast. Because once you take breakfast, then it's time to go here, go there. But just get up early and chant japa. And you get a higher taste for this process of Krishna consciousness. I got so many questions, I'm going to have to start diving into it. See what we've got here. Guru Maharaj, in my obeisances, I'm a shift worker night. I'm finding it hard to chant my rounds in the morning. Yeah, you can shift your rounds. I was also a shift worker for some time. I was a brahmachari for 14 years, and then Krishna arranged this marriage for me. It's arranged marriage with this very advanced Vaishnavi, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. So my first job was 11 till 8. 11 at night till 8 in the morning. And Krishna arranged that I was able to go to Mangal Arati every day because I was so determined to go to Mangal Arati. And my boss said, you know, nobody wants to work this shift, so you can take an extra long lunch break. We have no problem with it. So every day, I went to Mangal Arati every day. That was my lunch break. And I must have chanted my rounds. I forget, but Devi, did I chant in the morning or after I got home, before I went to bed? What did I do? Do you remember? Huh? When did I chant them?
In the morning.
I chanted them first. I get home, chant my rounds, and then go to sleep. Yeah. So, do you have to adjust it according to what is can be done? But it simply your desire is all that's required. If I want to take shelter, what are the procedures? If you want to take shelter of a spiritual master, then you have to be recommended by the leadership. I think here the Aniruddha Prabhu is the one for every. Oh yeah, you have to go through a system of being recognized and being tested by that you're actually ready by the temple leadership, and then they will give you a form of shelter, which is a preparatory step, and then they'll give you recommendation for initiation. Ask somebody else who went through it. Just like I have disciples here, Madhavananda, for example. He went through the process. You can ask Madhavananda, and he can tell you exactly what he did to become qualified for initiation. Why Krishna has a blackish-blue color? Because he likes it. He can be whatever color he wants. I mean, he's not under anybody's color code. He sets the standards. So or maybe because Radharani likes it the best, you know. You know. He can be whatever color he wants, but he chooses this color by his own sweet will. Why do you, when you go to the store, why did you pick a green shirt instead of a blue one? Well, I thought it was really nice. That's your taste. So it is Krishna's taste. Or maybe Radharani's taste. He wants to be most attractive to Radharani, and she just likes blue boys. You know. Okay, please explain us what are the responsibilities of Grihastha in today's context. Grihastha is meant to utilize sex life for procreation. Other than that, he should be a brahmachari. He should follow. He's the same as a sannyasi, except he has the spiritual master's permission to engage in sex life for producing Krishna conscious children. Other than that, he's also a sannyasi. Grihastha means he's also a sannyasi. Now, Grihamedi is a materialistic grihastha. Grihastha means he is a sannyasi who has the permission also to be married and have relations with his wife for producing children. Okay, please explain below what appears to be contradictions. Krishna is the source of everything material and spiritual. We infinitesimal spirit souls have eternally existed along with the supreme soul individual identity. How are we part and parcel of Krishna if we exist, have individual identity? Everything that exists is actually Krishna, because it's all his expanded energy. Prabhupada said, everything is Krishna and nothing is Krishna except for his original primeval personality. So actually, everything that exists is simply Krishna's expanded energy. So we are definitely part of Krishna. We didn't come out of ourselves. We're now self-manifested. We are manifested by Krishna. How to attain no birth and join God? You have to surrender to Krishna. That's all. Very simple. The difference between Bhakti Marg and Jnana Marg. Jnana Marg means to know, to the theoretical study of the science of self-realization. And Bhakti means you put it into practice. Just like you can study the art of cooking. You can study what are the different recipes. You see? You can say something. You can study what is a recipe for banana bread. You can say, okay. And you can tell me, well, you have to put in this much bananas, you have flour, you have the oil, or butter, you have baking powder, you have salt, you have some, you can put in some sour cream instead of eggs. You can give me the theoretical recipe, but do you have any banana bread to eat? No, you just gave me the recipe. So Jnana Marg means you have the recipe, and Bhakti Marg means you have the cave. Now you can eat the banana bread, after offering it, of course. That's the difference. Gan is dry, but gan can be used. Nothing wrong with gan, but you have to put, when gan is put into practice, and that is bhakti. Please explain the meaning of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It means, my dear inner Jiva Lord, Hare, Srimati Radharani, and my dear Krishna, my dear Ram, you are the same Krishna. Krishna is called Ram also. My dear Krishna, my Lord Ram, the Supreme Enjoyer, please engage me in your pure devotional service. Why does Krishna want us to do our duty? Well, the ultimate, Krishna says, give up all duties and take one duty only, surrender to me. So these other duties are subordinate. We accept other duties in such a way as to facilitate surrendering to Krishna. His duty as a brahmachari, duty as a householder, duty as a manaprastha, sannyasi, duty as a brahman, duty as a kshatriya, duty as a vaishya, shudra. These can all be accepted subordinate to the one duty of surrendering to Krishna. You understand? We do that, we have ultimately only one duty, and that's to surrender to Krishna. We do that because Krishna told us to. He's our Lord and Master. Because he has ordered us to do that. We do it to please him, out of loving reciprocation with him, for giving us everything that we have. We reciprocate with Krishna by surrendering to him. Is it true that every embodied soul started their journey in the material world as Brahma? Prabhupada says that, so it is true. It seems impossible for my conditioned mind and understanding to comprehend it. I understand it, I understand that. I agree with you. It is impossible for you to understand it. But don't worry about it. Just go back to Godhead. How to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna in this busy grihastha lifestyle. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave the key. You have to see this is not my house, it's Krishna's, you see. This is, I'm working to maintain Krishna's household. All this money that I'm earning, it's for Krishna. It's not for sense gratification. You have to make your home an ashram, not a place of sense enjoyment, where the husband, the wife, and the children are all engaged in Krishna's service. You see. And then you're working for Krishna. You're not working for sense gratification. By supporting your ashrama, you're serving Krishna. I would like to know if Krishna has stated the purpose of his existence. Yes, Anandamaya Vyasat, Krishna stated the nature of the living, Krishna's nature, the living entity's nature is the same, to enjoy. Krishna exists for the sheer enjoyment of existence. We all exist for enjoyment. Krishna exists for enjoyment. We also exist for enjoyment. His enjoyment is to be served, and our enjoyment is to give service. That's the difference. What is the proper mood of worshipping Tulsi Maharani? Humble submission. Then, my dear Tulsi Maharani, please bless me with pure devotional service. That is the mood. Does the necessary or unconscious killing of insects result in karmic consequences? Yes, it does. If you kill an insect, you kill a mosquito, you have to become a mosquito and be killed. That's the karma. I had to tell you the truth. You will become a mosquito and you'll be killed. But if you surrender to Krishna, sarva moksha yashami, sarva parvaibhyo moksha yashami, I'll deliver you from becoming a mosquito. Is it? But otherwise, ordinarily, yes. If you kill a mosquito, you become a mosquito. That's karma. That's a bit. But if you surrender to Krishna, he'll relieve you of having to become a mosquito. Just like an ambulance driver, he can run a red light without getting a ticket. If I run a red light, I get a ticket. The ambulance driver, if he runs a red light, the police say, oh, here, let me escort you to the hospital. It's an emergency. I will escort you to the hospital. Is it? So Krishna's, the devotee is like the ambulance driver. He's a higher purpose. He's in this world serving the mission of the Lord. So if he has to kill a mosquito in Krishna's service, or even kill some cockroach on the altar, you see, then Krishna excuses. All right, I won't make you become a cockroach. He wanted to keep my altar clean. So, of course, we don't try to, better to keep it clean and keep, they don't even come in. We want to avoid, because it's not a license to go around killing cockroaches and mosquitoes. If you take it as a license, it's like an ambulance driver says, I'm an ambulance driver, I can have some fun today, I'll turn on my siren and just speed around town. He would get a ticket. Don't be like that. Only if necessary should you do. Don't take it as a license. Now I can do whatever I want and be free. You go back into karma chakra if you take it as a license and abuse it. Why did Krishna turn into avatars from Nigha? I don't know, what is that, Nigha? Oh, that's the person's name, okay. Nigha asked the question, okay. Krishna comes as avatar out of his kindness upon us. Yada yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam madharmasya tadatmanam shajam yaham. Krishna comes to this world to save us. That is his kindness. Why he comes in so many different avatars. If the husband is not cooperating for Krishna consciousness, how to get the husband into Krishna consciousness? Pashadam. Make really, really good pashadam. Knock out pashadam, and he goes, wow, you've never cooked like this before. Well, I'm cooking for Krishna now, my dear husband. So now I make it much better, and now I'm cooking with love for Krishna, and that husband will gradually be transformed by the power of pashadam. I guarantee you, pashadam is the universal devotee maker. How to find a guru, and what is the best way to serve him? Well, like I said, there's so many gurus in ISKCON. It's like, I'm a spiritual master, I'm accepting the disciples, there are many my God brothers. So you just have to, you have to hear all the gurus and see which guru most can, where do you, which guru do you feel gives you the best connection with Krishna? For you, we all have our own natures, our own psycho natures. We all have our own, you know, natures. So which guru gives you the best connection with Krishna? See, when you hear him speak, when he answers the questions, which guru inspires you the most to surrender to Krishna? That's what you have to see. For some it'll be one guru, for some it'll be another. That's all right. Because it's all connecting with Prabhupada. But you have to see which guru inspires me the most to surrender to Krishna, to surrender to Prabhupada. That's the one you should take initiation from. And how to serve him? You ask him, what do you want me to do? Why does Krishna like butter? I can tell you why he likes butter. Because it's so delicious. When I was a kid, my parents only bought margarine. But when I went to my grandparents' house, they had butter. And I really liked going to my grandparents' house because I got real butter there, you know. Butter is very, very good. Now I can see why Krishna likes it. It's very, very tasty. Just like today, I took my lunch. Dina Vetsal and his wife, Tunga Vidya, they gave me some butter. And I put it all over my chapati, I put it in my rice. The butter is very, very tasty. I can see why Krishna likes it. It's very tasty. Whenever I chant, I find myself yawning. Does this indicate that I'm not concentrating? How can I prevent this from stand up? Stand up and chant it. If you get yawny when you chant, stand up and chant. What is the significance of the love of Radharani? It is unparalleled. Who is Radharani to Lord Vishnu? Actually, Krishna is the original Vishnu. But there are different... He expands out as Balaram, you see, Lord Narayan. So, when he's expanded from a Narayan, Radharani expands as Lakshmiji. His expanded form of Lord Ram, she may expand as Sita Devi in this way, you see. They are expansion of Radharani. Or Krishna and Dwarka, there's Rukmini, you see, in this way. Why is Ekadasi important? Because it's a very auspicious time for spiritual advancement. The astrological arrangement of the stars is very, very auspicious for spiritual progress on Ekadasi. Therefore, we're doing some extra tapa or extra austerity in that day gives great benefit. It's like going to Vrindavan gives you 1,000 times benefit. Ekadasi also gives 1,000 times benefit for whatever devotional service you do. It's a very, very auspicious day. I'm finding it difficult to wake up early in the morning. What can I do to solve my problem? 2 alarm clocks.
Huh? Should be far away from the bed.
Huh?
Far away from the bed.
Yeah, far away from each other. Yeah. If that doesn't work with 3, that doesn't work with 4. You know? Sooner or later, you'll get the idea I'm supposed to wake up. Okay. Is there any way of getting out of Kali Yuga, not including chanting? Yeah, there's another way to get out of it. You can just wait it out in the cycle of birth and death until the Satya Yuga comes. That's one way to get out of it. It eventually will be gone. If you're willing to wait it out for 427,000 years, you can get out of the Kali Yuga without chanting. I don't guarantee you'll have a human body, but you can get out of the, if you're willing to wait around long enough, you will get out of the Kali Yuga, but you're going to have to suffer a lot. The end of the Kali Yuga, any devotee, any human beings that are left, it'll be a completely, just if I drop you off in the African jungle in cannibal territory, would you like that? I'm in cannibal territory and I can hear the beating the drums right now, and here they come running. Oh my God, what am I going to do? Well, that's going to be like at the end of the Kali Yuga. The whole planet will be cannibal territory. If someone invites you over for dinner, guess what the dinner is? You. So, if you don't want to go through all that kind of hellish, nightmarish lifestyle, chant Hare Krishna. Get out now, but you got a good chance. But Prabhupada's mission is going on very strong on this planet. Take full advantage of it right now. Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Get initiated, follow the rules and regulations, and get out of this nasty place as soon as you can. If the soul is consciousness, what is the position of the soul in unconsciousness? The soul's symptom is consciousness. But when that consciousness becomes covered by the material energy, he becomes spiritually unconscious. His subconsciousness comes out in his dreams. It swirls up. There's so many images stored in the subconsciousness that when you go to sleep at night, they come swirling up in all kinds of mixed ways. So you have all kinds of images in your dreams. They're coming up from your subconsciousness, stored from millions of previous lifetimes. When we take Krishna consciousness process, sometimes we see parents and relatives become afraid and obstruct our endeavors. How to tolerate and be compassionate in dealing with them. It's called diplomacy. Yes, yes, yes. My dear family members, you are very dear to me. Thank you very much for being such wonderful family members. I love you, I love you. Oh, by the way, I'm going to the temple now. What are the first 4 incarnations of Krishna as animals? Well, I don't know chronologically, but I do know there is the We read in the early days of the universe, he came as a boar to save the earth. There's also a Palestine coming as a fish. You see, there's the half million, there's the Nrsimha incarnation, half man, half lion. You can look these up in the Bhagavatam. Okay. What does Prabhupada mean? It means the guru at whose feet spiritual masters sit. He's the guru of the gurus. You see. He's the greatest guru. All the spiritual masters sit at his lotus feet and take instructions. That is Prabhupada. It is all right to chant during the evening and night. Yes, chant 24 hours a day. But the best time for your japa is the early morning. You get it, it's easier. Now, if you can't do it then, you must do it later on. In the evening or the night, anytime, 24 hours a day, you can chant. But you'll find it easier in the early morning. Now I'm doing 16 rounds, chanting and following the four regulative principles. But sometimes I feel I should have more bhakti towards Krishna. Why only sometimes? That is your defect. You should always feel you need more bhakti for Krishna. You should always feel that way, not just sometimes. How to increase it? The first thing you have to realize is sometimes it's not enough. You should be always feeling, I must have more love for Krishna, more love for Krishna, more love for Krishna. So how do you do it? You have to beg Krishna, my dear Lord, I don't love you. I have not learned to love you. So please bless me. Here's a nice prayer by Rupa Goswami in this connection. He says, Na prema shravanadi bhaktir apiva, this is in the Bhaktivasamrita Sindhu, na prema shravanadi bhaktir apiva yogata tava vaishnavo jnanam va shubhakarma va kiyadaho satsjatir apyastiva yannanata dikka sadaketvai tatapyaschejya mulasati he gopi jana valava vyatayate haha madashaivamam. This prayer answers your question. He says, I have no love for Krishna, nor do I have any attachment at all for hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. I don't possess the mystic power of a Vaishnava, knowledge. I don't even have pious activities. And what to speak, I don't even come from a very advanced spiritual family. If you examine me, my Lord, you will see I've completely bereft of any qualification for devotional service. But because you are, my dear Gopi Jana Balava, because you are famous as that person who is most merciful to those who are in the most fallen, wretched condition, I have this unbreakable hope that is constantly in my heart that somehow or other I may be able to attain your divine lotus feet. But my Lord, this hope has given me pain because I feel so unqualified to achieve that transcendental goal. You see, this prayer, which is given in the Nectar Devotion, I guarantee you, if you will say this prayer often, it will give you the desired result, increasing your desire for bhakti. It's a beautiful prayer given by Rupa Goswami. Learn to pray the prayers of the great acharyas. They are perfect prayers. But you have Hare Krishna, that's the main prayer. But there's so many other prayers. They're in the next. Study this book, Nectar. You're reading the book, Nectar of Devotion. Everyone has read Nectar of Devotion. This is the most important book. Every devotee must study very carefully, Nectar of Devotion. Because this book gives all these prayers, you see. You can chant these prayers and get the awakening of bhakti just by chanting the prayers. How to control our mind when chanting? Mind juggling. Well, there are different distractions while chanting. We have to avoid all of them. There's one called radar japa, just like the airport, the radar, the Air Force Base or whatever, the radar is going like this, scanning the horizon, you see. So radar japa is, I'm chanting like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, looking around here and there. That's called radar japa. Avoid radar japa. And then there's jabber japa, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, how's it going, Prabhu? Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Ram. How's the wife doing? Ram, Ram. See, don't try to have a conversation while you're chanting your rounds. You see, that's another one. Another one is called jarbal japa, you see. Nishnishnam, 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 like that. Let's see, what are the other ones? There's, dive bomber japa, just like in World War II, you know. They would come in with the planes, and they would come down like this and drop the bomb, and they go up again. So you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, yes, these problems are there for us, and we chant around. It's a face that we have the dive bomber japa problem, the radar japa, all these things. We have to avoid all these problems. We have these problems, that's a fact. We have to learn how to, you know, really, really become expert in the science of transcendental meditation. Really take it. I'm personally meeting with God. This is my time to have my own personal private meeting with the Supreme Lord. We have to really be attuned. Just like you go for a job interview. Will you be falling asleep in a job interview? No way, you see. Now you're being interviewed. It's a job interview with Krishna. You're being interviewed for a job in Goloka Vrindavan. You understand? It's like a job interview, being interviewed for a job in Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna sees, is he ready yet for Goloka? How is he chanting my names? Is his mind somewhere else? He just kind of... Or is he actually going deep, deep, deep into Namaras? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So just think, Krishna is checking me out where I'm at spiritually by how my rhyme. Krishna can hear my japa. He's checking me out to see if I'm, how much I'm attuned, you see. So remember these things when you're chanting, and it'll definitely help you a lot, I guarantee you. In our younger years, we have committed some mistakes, which we now, after coming to Krishna consciousness, feel very repentant and pray to Lord Krishna to forgive our sins. Will Krishna forgive us? Or we still have to suffer our sins according to the laws of karma. Actually, when you fully surrender to Krishna, you take initiation. Now I'm giving my life fully. I've made the vow. I've taken the Guru Maharaj as my eternal master. Then you get practically totally relieved of all sins. But there's a slight token reaction to still come to help you stay sober and serious about this process. So yes, you are relieved 99.99% by surrendering to Krishna. Get initiated, follow your spiritual master without deviation. You're 99.99% relieved. How did Krishna become the Lord? Well, it's very simple. Just like if you start a company, you're the boss. If you found a company, you're the boss. So Krishna founded reality, therefore he's the boss. He's the founder of reality. Everything exists. He's the founder of existence itself. Therefore, he's the boss, naturally. Why is Krishna blue? We already answered that, because he really likes that blue color. Why does Krishna want Vada? Vada? You mean that prep?
Dahivada.
Huh? Dahivada? Why does he want... It just says Vada. Well, if you're talking about that prep, I mean, Krishna likes things. He has certain tastes, just like you have certain things that you like. Krishna has certain things that he likes. So if he likes one prep, that's his taste. Why is the Bhagavad Gita...
Why is the Bhagavad Gita made?
Why was the Bhagavad Gita made? That's Krishna's kindness. He answers that. In chapter 4, text 2, evam parampara praptam ramam rajarshi yogidu sakalineha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way, but in course of time the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. So Krishna came again to reestablish these teachings for our deliverance. Please explain why we shouldn't eat any grains like beans, etc. on Ekadasi. Sin personified, because Ekadasi is such an auspicious day, sin personified was having great difficulty how he will survive on this day. So he was given the boon he could take residence in grains and beans on Ekadasi. So therefore we didn't... There is very sinful to eat grains and beans on Ekadasi. Because sin personified has taken residence of them temporarily for one day. Why is the planetarium built inside the Mayapur temple? Prabhupada ordered us to do that. He wanted to educate everybody as to the Vedic view of the universe. How to control anger. You have to be very tolerant. Anger is controlled by tolerance. If ISKCON is not in Hindu religion, then in what religion is ISKCON a part of? Well, you have to understand what religion is. Religion means to relink, or to relig is the Latin word, religio. It means to relink with the Supreme, with God. So religion has been sectarianized by politically minded men into this sect and that sect. But that is not God's program, you see. God has given one religion to surrender to Him. Sarva dharman purit yajo mam ekam sharanang vraja. But man has divided it out. That is not given by God. Religion is given by God. Religions are invented by men. So the word Hindu is a word coined by the Muslims, actually. The word Hindu does not exist anywhere in the Vedic scriptures. It is a word made up by the Muslims. So why we should even identify with it? Well, we have to use the Muslims, what the Muslims call us Hindus. So therefore, because the Muslims call us Hindus, therefore we are Hindus. We're just showing how much we're subordinate to the Muslims by calling ourselves Hindus, actually. Yes, I'm subordinate to the Muslims because they say we are Hindus, therefore we are Hindus. That's a Muslim term. Hindu is something they coined to describe those people living on the other side of the river Sindhu, which they pronounced Hindu river. So do you want to go by a Muslim designation coined by the Muslims? If you want to, you can. I'm a Hindu, and I'm proud. But that is not the Vedic teaching, to identify any Bali designation. The Vedic teaching is, you're not that body. Aham Brahmasmi, I am a spirit soul. I have nothing to do with a body that's born in any part of the world. I'm not white, I'm not black, I'm not Hindu, I'm not Christian, I'm not Jew, I'm not Muslim, I'm not Sikh, I'm not Jain, I'm not any of these things. I'm not Australian, I'm not American, I'm simply the eternal servant of Krishna. Jivara Sarupa Hoi Krishnara Nityadas. So ISKCON is the perfection of Hindu religion, it's the perfection of Christianity, it's the perfection of Islam, it's the perfection of everything. What ISKCON is teaching is the perfection of every single religious tradition. ISKCON is the perfection of Judaism, you see. Perfection of Buddhism, perfection of Sikhism, perfection of Jainism is the perfection of every single religious process, because ultimately all religious processes are meant to bring you to the point of complete total surrender to the Supreme Lord. Is that clear? Anyone have questions on that? Okay. Do I look like a Hindu? No, I'm a Christian boy, actually. I was born and raised a Christian. Praise Jesus. But I realize that Jesus wants me to be a Hare Krishna. So in my following of Jesus, I came to this movement because I understood this is the perfection of Christianity, to become a devotee of Krishna. In the Bible, Jesus talks about God the Father, you see? And he says, I am the Son, and there is the Father of Krishna. In the Bible, Jesus doesn't give the name, you see, but he talks about his Father. Krishna in the Gita reveals himself to be that Father of everything. So Christianity and Krishna consciousness, you see, there's no difference. It's just a matter of perspective. From the perspective of the Son, or the perspective of the Father, but it's the same teaching. So ultimately, every religion is coming to the same point of surrender to God. So there's no such, we are not presenting a sect of religion here. This is not another one of the sects or faiths on the street. Like we saw the Macedonian Christian church as we drove by here today. This is not another one of those different sects. A religion. We are presenting the universal science of religion that's equally applicable to everyone. a Macedonian Christian can read these books. We even have a Baptist ministry. You know the Baptists, they're very traditional, fundamentalist Christians. You have Baptists here in Australia. They call them Bible bashers. They bash you on the head with the Bible. Do they do that here? Well, not literally, but practically speaking, they bash you on the head with the Bible. But there's a Baptist minister in the U.S. He's an ISKCON-initiated devotee, undercover. He wasn't satisfied with what he learned in the Christian theological school. He read Prabhupada books. He said, this is a higher theology than I got in the Christian seminary. But he's employed. That's his livelihood. He has a job working as a Baptist minister. So he started presenting Prabhupada's teachings in Christian terms in the Sunday lecture, the Sunday sermon. He used to send me a copy of his sermon he did on Sunday, and it was Prabhupada's philosophy, right out of Bhagavad Gita, but in Christian terms, that's all. So this teachings of Prabhupada, they can be taught by an Islamic imam can use Prabhupada's books, a Jewish rabbi, you see, they can all use a Buddhist monk. They can all read Prabhupada's books and present it in a language which is understood by the Jews, the Buddhists, or the Muslims. You see, this is a universal science. It's not another sect. This is the universal science of religion. As present, I am chanting 16 rounds, but not at a stretch, and most of the chanting is not attentive. How to achieve attentive chanting, and how can I attain Lord Krishna's devotion at all times? Well, that early morning is best. And if you can't go at a stretch sitting down, then stand up. If you can standing up is enough, then walk, pace back and forth in the room. Do it in the early morning, and it's easy to do it at a stretch. Give yourself enough time in the morning. Give yourself 1.5-2 hours, and get those rounds done early in the morning before breakfast. You'll be amazed at the result, and how the feelings of devotion to Krishna will come. Do you support creationism or evolution? Both. All the forms are created at the very beginning of the universe by Lord Brahma, but we evolve through them in the cycle of birth and death. So we support creationism and evolution. We are both creationists and evolutionists. But our understanding of evolution is quite different from Darwin, yes. Monkey guy, Darwin. Okay, I've read that it's easy to forget Krishna when the times are good and only remember him when you're going through hard times. I find the opposite to be true. Going through difficult times, my chanting is becoming poor, as is my devotional service. How do we keep faith during these testing times? When things get bad, just say, Krishna, thank you for blessing me with this difficulty. You're so kind. I was so puffed up and so proud, thinking I was so advanced in Krishna consciousness, and now you're showing me what a neophyte I actually am. So thank you for putting me through this difficulty, my Lord. In this way, if you'll pray, I guarantee you, if you sincerely pray that way when difficulty comes, then you'll find that you become the difficulties are a great blessing. In regards to chanting, which is better, quality or quantity? Quality is better. How can we improve the quality of our chanting? You have to study what are the 10 offenses and try to avoid them. It's very simple then. You can't be offensive towards devotees. That's the first offense. You can't think that Krishna is another one of the gods. You know, you can chant Shiva, Shiva, Durga, Durga, Krishna, Krishna. It's all the same. Don't think that way. Krishna's the supreme. He's different from the demigods. Third offense, don't disobey the order of your spiritual master. That means you need to take a spiritual master. If you're having a hard time with your rounds, well, that means you're disobeying the third instruction. Don't disobey the spiritual master. That means you're supposed to have a spiritual master. And Rupa Goswami says, the very first step is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Adao means beginning if you don't know Sanskrit. Adao Garashvayam. Your very first step in the path of bhakti is to accept a guru. So if you accept Prabhupada's teachings. He is your siksha guru to guide you. And then from there you choose an initiating spiritual master. So you have to accept the principle of guru in the very beginning. You see, you start off and say, of course, some people come the other way. They didn't know about it. It happened to me. One one very nice, very pious lady in India. She was looking for a guru. She found me on the internet, and she accepted me as a guru. Then she found out about Prabhupada later on. So it's something that it can work either way. You can meet the guru, and he introduces you to Prabhupada, or you can meet Prabhupada, and he introduces you to the guru. But either way, the result is the same. You get the same benefit, whether you come in this way or that way, because you get Prabhupada, and you get Prabhupada's disciple, you see, to be your spiritual master. And either way, you get the same benefit. So the third thing is to accept the spiritual master's orders. The fourth is to blaspheme the Vedic literature. You can't be critical of the Vedic literature. You have to have a high respect for the Vedic literature. Don't consider the holy names, the glories of a holy name, to be imaginary. Don't give any mundane interpretation on the holy name. Don't commit sinful activities on strength of chanting. Don't chant Hare Krishna so your kids can make better grades at school or something like that from a material benefit. You don't need to do that. Just surrender to Krishna and everything will come automatically. All auspiciousness will come automatically if you surrender to Krishna. Though I'm going to chant some extra rounds for my kids' grades at school. That's an offense against the holy name. You're praying for some material benefit. Don't do that. The ninth offense is to deduct the faithless people about the glories of a holy name. You have to present Krishna consciousness to people in such a way, on their level of understanding, that they can appreciate it. Be very careful how you present Krishna. We don't say don't preach, but preach intelligently. To preach foolishly can be also an offense. And the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name, is to maintain material attachments, even after having understood so many instructions on these matters, and also you should not be inattentive while chanting. If you follow these guidelines we've just given you, and they are mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, that book you should all be reading, the Nectar of Devotion, then you'll be able to improve your chanting. Now, do we have some books here? So, the books are the most important thing, because I've given a lecture, you may have gotten a little inspiration. By Prabhupada's mercy, you may have been inspired by the lecture. But a lot of it will just be forgotten, you see. But if you have a book, then you read the book again and again and again, then it becomes solidly situated in your heart. So the best thing we recommend is every single family should have a full set of Prabhupada's books in their house. Get all of his books. Bhagavad Gita especially, Krishna book, Nectar Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam. So we brought a few of the books along for those of you who need to add to your library today. And anybody who takes a hardbound book, I think they're all hardbound today. I'll give a written blessing. You give me your name, and I'll give you a written blessing in the book. So that's now we'll do that. Everyone can come forward and who wants a book. And I encourage everyone to come before the book. First come, first serve. There's not enough books for every family, but those who come first will get the books. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.